When I was a junior in college, I decided to take a dive trip by myself to the island of Cozumel on the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. And I had hopes of experiencing some incredible diving. And since I was a single young college guy, I also had hopes of maybe meeting somebody. But when I arrived in Cozumel, I quickly found that the only people there besides the locals were couples, either honeymooners or people on their anniversary. It was like a Noah's Ark of couples. There was nothing but two by two by two by two by two. So I ended up spending my time just exploring the island and lounging on the beach and snorkeling and diving. And the diving was incredible. The coral reefs were huge and brightly colored fish all over the place. And I dove as deep as I've ever dove before. I went down to 110 feet, which I thought was a pretty neat feat. And I did end up meeting somebody. It was the first and only time that I was wooed by another man. He was a Mexican national. He was a scientist who was doing some research on the island there, and he mistook me for a single gay man, because after all, why else would a single man be on the island of Cozumel with this flood of honeymooners on there? Well, I was flattered, but I politely declined, and soon my trip ended. And I boarded the plane to return home. Now, I was a poor college student, so I had booked the cheapest airfare that I could, which meant that I flew in and out of the airport in Tijuana with stopovers in Mexico City both ways. And the stopover in Mexico City was an overnight stopover. Now, we landed in Mexico City kind of late, and I was a little nervous because I didn't have much money left. And I hadn't booked a room either. And when we arrived in the airport, the only transportation at that time of night was a taxi. And I was afraid that if I spent money on a taxi, then I wouldn't have enough money left over for a room. So I had a choice to make, either take a taxi and chance not having enough money for a room, or save the money and venture out from the airport myself to find a room. And I chose the latter. So I picked up my duffel bag that had all my stuff in it, all my dive gear, all my clothes, my wallet, and my plane ticket, and started walking from the airport in Mexico City. Now, I got about two or three blocks into a neighborhood, and I was approached by two guys. One guy was almost as tall as me, skinny, and another guy, a shorter guy. And they asked me what I was doing, and I told them I was looking for a room. And this was all in Spanish. My Spanish was pretty good back then. And then I saw the expression on the shorter one's face turn into that tough guy look, and he pulled out a big knife and held it up to me. At first, I was shocked. But then I thought, oh, great, I'm getting mugged in Mexico City. I'll just give him my money and be on my way. But it wasn't quite that easy. He held the knife up to me and he said, start walking. Now, as far as I knew back then, the conventional wisdom was if you get mugged, if you're mugged, do whatever they say. And now I think the conventional wisdom is do whatever they say, but if they want to take you to a second location, don't go. But I didn't know that, and so we started walking. And we walked two or three blocks, I think, until we came to a street where there was a line of empty buses. And one of the bus, the door on one of the bus was open, and they told me to get on the bus and walk to the rear, which I did. And then they stood outside the door of the bus, and they started talking to each other. And I couldn't hear them. I was too far away. But what I imagined what they were saying was, great, what the hell are we going to do with that body after we're done with it? Look how big he is. Meanwhile, I was frantically looking for an emergency exit and discovered that at least those buses in Mexico City don't have emergency exits. So remember that next time you're in Mexico City and you're in an emergency on the bus. And then I started to think about my family and how if these guys killed me, my family may never know. I just may go missing for the rest of my life. So they came back on the bus, and they said, get off the bus. And so I came off the bus, and when I took a step off the bus, I had a few feet on them, and then I just bolted. I just ran as fast as I could. And I looked behind me to see if they were still chasing me, and they weren't. And so after a couple blocks, I stopped to catch my breath, and then I started walking back in the direction where I thought the airport was. And I was approached by a younger couple, and the woman was carrying a baby wrapped in a blanket, and they asked me if I needed help, and I told them, yeah, I needed help, and I told them what happened. And then I looked at her baby and discovered it wasn't a real baby at all. It was a doll that she was using as a decoy so they wouldn't get bothered in the neighborhood. And that's when I realized this is a badass neighborhood I wandered into. Then they flagged down one of their buddies who was driving a VW Bug and asked if he could give me a ride back to the airport, and he agreed. So we all climbed in, and we started driving back to the airport, and I realized that, yes, it was a badass neighborhood, but there were some really good people in it. And they dropped me off at the airport, and I went to the head of security in the airport, and he called up the American embassy, and within an hour or so, a woman from the embassy, followed by her driver/bodyguard, showed up. They took me back to the consulate and interviewed me, and then said, about all we can do is give you some pocket money and take you back to the airport. And so that's what they did. They gave me about $20 and took me back to the airport, where I spent the rest of the night. Now, the next day, this is way before internet, but my mom was a travel agent at that time, so miraculously, she got me a plane ticket within like 3 hours. And by the afternoon, I was back on the plane, returned back home. And after that time, for several months, I had the typical assault victim daydreams of just doing some wampin' ninja ass all over those guys. But then finally, those subsided, and I decided I was just lucky to be alive. And later on, I played Trivial Pursuit. And while I played Trivial Pursuit, I learned, ironically, that the definition of international airports, what makes them international airports, is that they stay open 24 hours a day. So I could have just stayed there the whole night. Anyway, that's my story.